There was an article about PewDiePie. I'm sure you all saw it, right? Here's the article. Okay, you remember it. I talked about it on another stream. This is the article. PewDiePie's ties to white supremacy spell serious trouble for the future of YouTube. YouTube's most popular celebrity keeps dallying with the alt-right. His 76 million followers don't care, by Arja Romano. And if you remember on my previous stream, I said, saying that PewDiePie has ties to white supremacy is libelous. I mean, because he doesn't. You would need to prove, okay, you would need to prove that he actually had a tie to a white supremacist organization. That headline is outrageous. It's outrageous. And I said on my last stream, if I was PewDiePie with all my money and my millions, I would just make one phone call. I would say to a defamation specialist, Vox have said I have ties to white supremacy, and I will tell you what that lawyer would say. They would say, hi, PewDiePie, one of the most popular internet celebrities in the world, if not the most popular internet celebrity in the world. This is absolutely actionable. It's absolutely unconscionable. They cannot prove you have ties to white supremacy because you don't have ties to white supremacy. And I will take them to court pro bono because of the publicity that it will generate for me to do this. I will become the number one defamation firm overnight because I'm the guy that helped PewDiePie put Vox out of business. That's exactly how that conversation goes. Again, far be it from me to say I know what I'm talking about. But here's what's interesting. December 13th, PewDiePie's ties to white supremacy spell serious trouble for the future of YouTube. I did my stream. I said, yo, you can't really say that. That headline is outrageous. So I was prepping for the stream tonight, and I said, let's talk about that PewDiePie thing a little bit more because there's some interesting developments. So I took the link, that link that's up there, the top of the archive, and what I got was this article instead. And it says, in case you can't see it, YouTube's most popular user amplified anti-Semitic rhetoric again. Wait, what? You literally changed the entire premise and headline of the article where you said PewDiePie had ties to white supremacy. Same link. Now listen, bad news, ladies and gentlemen. This headline's accurate. Look at it. YouTube's most popular, he is, user, I don't know if he's the most popular user, but he's the most popular content creator on YouTube. Amplified anti-Semitic rhetoric. He did again. Maybe the again is arguable. That is a much more mellow and accurate headline than PewDiePie has ties to white supremacy, because he doesn't. Interesting, isn't it, that they changed that around about the time it was blowing up. And I would still say to Felix, please do sue Vox and put them out of business and do us all a favor. But imagine the fucking audacity. This is what they do all the time. I was raised and taught in a culture and in an environment, in an industry where this wouldn't fly. The idea of just like overnight editing headlines and then not even acknowledging it happened. Look at the timestamp, by the way. December 13th, 2018. That headline wasn't there on December 18th, 2018. It wasn't at 3 p.m. That headline wasn't there. I just showed you it wasn't. They're not even acknowledging that they've changed it. They accused him of having ties to white supremacy. They haven't changed a word in the article. Not one I've cared to really discern. But they changed the headline and they just refused to acknowledge they changed the headline. And again, this is why archive.is is one of the most important websites out there right now. That is unbelievable. So, I gotta get more booze if we're gonna get into this. It's incredible, really, how much work a corkscrew actually does. You don't really think about it until you don't have one. So anyway, you drill a hole. And there we go. Who needs a fucking corkscrew? That's how we roll. That's how we roll in my house, you fucking morons. You know what I mean? Right. So this is the article. And remember that name. Again, I'll come off the camera. Asia Romano. Asia Romano. Right? What a character. So she wrote this article about PewDiePie. And again, I think it's outrageous. I mean, if you saw the last stream, I told you exactly what my thoughts were about this. He should care enough about his own brand that before he recommends another brand, he should look into it. He didn't. I think he tried to do a nice thing for a bunch of amateur YouTubers. He named 26 YouTubers whose videos he's seen. He named one called E:R, who, as we established on a previous stream, definitely is what I would probably call anti-Semitic. Sorry. Anybody who seriously wants to ask the Jewish question probably has some issues with Jewish people. I'm not one of them. I don't think there is a Jewish question. Certainly, if there is one, it's just nothing that can't be explained away by common sense and things like, say, like nepotism, for example. No, but look, the two Jewish people work in the same business and they know each other. Yeah, you never gave a job to a friend. Oh, the big conspiracy. Stupid. It's idiotic. I'm also sick and tired of hearing about IQ rates. I'm bored of that. I'm just bored of it. And I get a lot of people in my YouTube. Like, if you believe this shit, just get out. If you believe that a 10-point median average in IQ, which, you know, I'm sure you've got from very reliable sources, if you believe that that means that Jewish people are controlling us all, fuck off. Don't watch my shit, mate, because I'm not interested. I think you've got a problem. And equally as well, if you think that there's an average low mean for some races down here, 10 below it, and that means that they can't achieve excellence, also fuck off, because you're just a racist and you're using statistical nonsense to cloak your inherent racism. So I'm not interested in it. Sorry, my opinion, all right, might have upset one or two here. Not interested. Don't talk to me. So let's talk about this article in particular with PewDiePie, because why does the same thing keep happening over and over again? The media keep going after PewDiePie all the time. You've noticed it, right? Like, you've seen it. So let me show you a thing that I think is very relevant to this. Hang on, I've got to find the right link. Right, here it is. So you're like, well, why would Vox Media accuse the most popular YouTuber repeatedly of anti-Semitism? Why would they do it? I mean, there is still no evidence. Okay, there is one little bit of evidence where you might be able to leverage it and say PewDiePie is an anti-Semite. And that was when he hired those guys on Fiverr to hold up a sign that said death to Jews. Now, listen, sounds bad on the surface, but if a comedian does a bit and then tells me that the bit is intended this way, I'll take them at their word. And that's why I believe that E:R, when I saw those Gab messages of him saying, I like to just joke about the Jewish question so people will eventually ask it. That's why I believe he is an anti-Semite and a piece of shit. So if making a joke, an edgy joke of that nature, immediately qualifies you as an anti-Semite, I think it's a pretty low bar. And it's not a bar I'm interested in. I think... You know, we've all made jokes, you know, that's all I'm saying. Ill-advised, maybe. Irresponsible given his platform, maybe. Anti-Semitic entirely, not for me, sorry. But let's have a look at this little truth nugget here. Vox Media is on pace to miss revenue target as digital advertising disappoints. And this is in the Wall Street Journal. I have to use the archive because the Wall Street Journal, God bless him, puts everything behind a paywall, and who in the right mind would pay for that shit? But 76 million subscribers, the most popular person on YouTube. That's pretty big clout. That is pretty big clout. I talked earlier in the stream, back before XSplit went crazy, about hate clicks. You will consistently notice that what these journalists do these days is they bait large fan bases with stories that are clearly nonsensical, and they flood their pages for the first time to get in their comment sections, get on their Twitter, click on the article, read it, see what all the outrage is about. And it's pretty much all it's good for now. Digital advertising is fucked. I've said it for 10 years. That if you're relying on click-through ads, I mean, you'll be able to find tweets from 2009 when I was the editor of a website. And I'm like, listen, if you're relying on click-through ads, you're going to go bust. Can't happen. It's not like the old days. Too many people came in and fucked it up. Imagine a world where everyone had been honest and hadn't been a piece of shit, by the way. And every time you went on a website, I don't know if you remember the internet in 1999 and 2000 and 2000 and fucking one. Let me tell you, you click on a website to look at something, you go to rotten.com or whatever. Who smashed this iPhone for a free iPhone? No, well, I'll just click off. Oh, wait, it doesn't have an X. It doesn't have an X. Well, I'll just, what if I click on the... What if I click on the iPhone? Oh my god, the hammer! It smashed the iPhone! Where? Oh, now it's screaming at me. But oh, it's saying I want an iPhone. Oh god, do I have to fill this in? Oh no. That was the internet. That was how it was, right? These advertisers were just so out of control that sure, it was making these websites money, but consumers couldn't tolerate it. So they said, fuck this. We're done. And this all spurs on the invention of Adblock and people using Adblock religiously now. And websites are now saying, oh, listen, we won't run those horrible ads. You never had a say. Anyway, you never had a say. You got it from ad suppliers. So you don't have a say. Stop fucking pretending. So... this egregious pop-up, aggressive, in-your-face advertising has basically been the seeds that grew into the bitter fruit of everybody fucking not using click-through ads right now. And that's also, as well, you think about all the big companies and conglomerates that are taking off. Like, why would I ever click through? Like, oh, what's this company called? Oh, it's advertising to me on a website. I'll certainly click through. Ooh, it's a wholesale shoe store. I'm just going to go to Amazon like everyone else, motherfucker. All right, do you know why? Because when I click on a pair of shoes from Amazon, it's got Prime on it, it's there the next day. And Amazon ain't never ripping me off. And if they are, they're fucking paying me back or they're getting a fucking lawsuit up their ass. They're legit. They're the biggest. No one's using any of these companies anymore. So the type of advertising you get right now is garbage anyway. So yes, digital advertising is fucked. And it's been fucked for a while, and all these publications have realized it. The one consistent way to get a spike in traffic, right, is to bait in large amounts of a fan base. They come in, they click on the website, you get to say, oh, look how many page impressions we had. And you know why they do that? Because none of these people are clicking on the ads, obviously, right? But you see, there's another part of digital advertising. It's not just click-throughs and ads and everything else. Page impressions matter. Why do they matter, Richard? You just said you can't monetize it. Kind of wrong. Because what you do is, okay, I'm a publication. I get 50,000 unique page impressions every month. I write an article about PewDiePie, and it pisses everyone off. And 10% of his fan base come to my website, and I get 7 million unique page impressions. That puts me so up for the year and so up for that month that I then take those numbers and then I go to a company and I go, oh, hey, do you want to sponsor an article or sponsor our website or do that thing we just saw on Rock, Paper, Shotgun where you have, I forget what it's called, is it decking or whatever the fuck they call it now? I can't remember. But it's where you have like an entire ad take over your front page, you know, and all the colors and all the artwork, you know. You go, well, listen, I just got 7 million page impressions. Do you want to take advantage of this? And they go, okay, yeah, I'll take advantage of this. I'll give you $20,000. I'll give you $100,000. I'll give you whatever the fuck, whatever it's worth. And then you take that money And that's money that you use to pay off your journalists and grow and pay the bills and keep the lights on. And that's why when you get these big spikes in viewership, that's why it matters. Okay? Because it goes into a deck and you show it to a buyer. And, you know, someone who's buying a specific targeted advertising campaign. It's not about click-through ads. So, digital advertising is fucked. And the only way they can keep the numbers up and trick people into advertising with them is with these unbelievable spikes they get when they write about certain targets. And who better to write about right now than PewDiePie, by the fucking way? Number one YouTuber, also embroiled in a battle with another hugely successful YouTube conglomerate. Constantly in the headlines. Yeah, fuck it, let's write about him. So, Vox Media on pace to miss revenue target. By how much, you might want to know? Well, let's get into it. Digital publisher Vox Media is expected to miss its revenue goal for this year by more than 15%, according to people familiar with the matter, adding to the list of new media companies struggle to live up to this lofty growth expectations. And yeah, you probably saw some other ones. BuzzFeed are out there with the begging bowl. Oh God, oh God, oh God, we've just lost another 60 million. How about this for a fucking idea, new media publications? Stop buying your offices in coastal elite fucking towns and cities, the most expensive places to rent on God's green earth. Stop overpaying your very mediocre fucking writers who need to be in all of the coolest trendy bars, drinking cocktails in lower Manhattan and everywhere else. How about you actually do what most media publications that sustain a living do? Buy cheap offices in the center of America. And then just send people out and get good writers with followers and talent that generate views and actually do good work. I know this is crazy. It's crazy to suggest it, but it's so good. It's so good. Right? The company, which owns websites including Vox, Divergent, SB Nation, had been targeting revenue of about $200 million in 2018, which would have translated into about 25% growth over the last year's haul of roughly $160 million. Instead, the company will be struggling to achieve double-digit percentage revenue growth. The expected miss was discussed last week at a Vox Media board meeting as some investors grow concerned about the situation. A spokeswoman for Vox Media said, "Oh, it's too early to make predictions for 2018's final revenue. The fourth quarter is traditionally the largest by far for the company and the digital media industry." The spokeswoman said Vox Media is having a strong third quarter and expects to finish the year within its forecasting range. Sure. Person close to the company said $200 million is a stretch sales goal at the high end of the range. The expected Vox Media shortfall is another sign the digital media industry is struggling to adapt to the reality that online ad growth is becoming harder to come by, especially as tech firms such as Facebook Incorporated, Alphabet Incorporated, Google, and Amazon.com corner the market. By the way, remember these three brands. Because you've always wondered, haven't you? Why is it these websites get to the push to the top of Google searches? Why is it these websites' Facebook pages don't get banned? Why is it that Amazon seems to know if I fucking talk about any of these websites, it offers me shit? Like if I type in a Vox article, I'm going to go on Amazon now and they're going to recommend me soy milk. How do they know all of this? It's called cahoots. Cahoots. They're all in fucking cahoots with each other. Don't you get it? Don't you understand what's going on? Can't you fucking see it? Alphabet Incorporated, they have a ad thing, right? And they sell ads to Vox and they say like, oh, you know, you can buy these ads and we'll do this thing. And oh, what do you know? You go to the top of the search engine. Isn't that weird? Oh, how does it all work? Facebook, they go, don't worry, Vox. You write any old false shit like PewDiePie being tied to white supremacy, we'll never delete your page. Just keep buying that ad space. Keep pushing for the promoted clicks and it's all going to be okay. And everyone sits back and goes, well, there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, Richard, you're just being paranoid. This is perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong when big business and corporations Americans meet reporting. That's never been a recipe for disaster in the history of the fucking world ever. Like, do you get it? Do you understand? Like, this isn't even a lie. In my mind, this is all provable. Like, I could not be here telling you this. A few Google searches would find this, ironically. Because they don't even care to delete that shit. Because what's the point? Can't do anything about it. It's all legit. It's all fine. It's just how it is. So, let's keep scrolling down. The growth posted by venture-backed digital media companies would still be the envy of most of their peers in traditional media, whose mature businesses have grown at a slower pace in recent years. But the new media companies are under pressure to live up to the high expectations of venture and strategic investors. Ah, yes, the big venture capital firms, remember those, who not long ago believed companies in the sector could easily grow faster than 25% annually because they bought all that woke bullshit. Vox Media, which has raised more than $300 million in venture capital. I mean, this is what we're talking about, by the way, as well. What keeps the lights on at Vox? Oh, do you have a sustainable revenue model? Now we just get hundreds of millions of dollars of venture capital year upon year. Oh, but how isn't that, like, always going to fail as a business model? Richard, don't be silly. Hey, look, have another bottle of wine. Here's a drill. You know, it's, right? It employs 1,000 people. Vox. Vox employs 1,000 people. 1,000. Its last major investment round, a $200 million infusion from Comcast Corporation's NBC Universal in 2015 valued the company at about $1 billion. Weird also, isn't it? Wait. So the only thing keeping this afloat is money we put into it. Nobody really reads the shit. Like, digital ad revenue streams are down. It doesn't have any other revenue streams, but it's valued at $1 billion. Why? Because we put a fifth of that into the business, and that's what we would like to get if we ever sold that fifth. I see. Kind of sounds like the Overwatch League, by the way, doesn't it? Just to link it back to esports, if there's any esports people still there. It's so ridiculous. Despite the tough... This is important, this final paragraph. And then hopefully you guys who are watching, we're getting back up to 600. I wish I could educate more people. Hopefully, maybe PewDiePie, if he hasn't already figured this out, can tell people about it. Because this is where the Tetris, it all comes in. Right? Despite the tough digital advertising market, Vox Media's audience is growing. The company drew 78.4 million readers in July, according to Comscore. An 8% increase over the previous year. Digital audiences for the New York Times, Washington Post, and BuzzFeed were all down in July. Isn't that strange? You mean to say this website that has consistently gone after people with big followings and published false stories about them has a readership increase? Almost as if you had a large audience and found yourself written about in Vox, and you brought attention to a Vox article writing about you, or your fan base just discovered it organically and went there, it's almost as if those numbers would be factored in. I mean, you'll notice it said it just had 78.4 million readers. Not regular readers, not subscribers, just readers. A reader, in case you don't know, I know I work in the business, reader is a person who has clicked on the website once. Even by accident, you're a reader. It doesn't mean you read a goddamn word. Now, an 8% increase. What have they been doing more and more of this past year? Is it writing about guys like PewDiePie? Oh God, it is. People who would never ordinarily go to Vox. Wow. Far be it from me to suggest then that there was some sort of business interest in writing garbage like PewDiePie has ties to white supremacy. Because obviously, if you did that. And again, remember, you only have to attract 10% of his audience. Hell, 5% of his audience is millions of people. It might make you look like you're a functioning business. It might make you look like, hey, we're going to beat the digital ad blackout. Hey, let's have another round of VC money here. Now, that's just the business side. It's boring. It's dull. It's dry, isn't it? But I hope enough people can see what's going on and why it happens. Because Vox is some of the most outrageous stuff on the internet when it comes to the people they write about and how they push this, like, insane, everyone's a Nazi nonsense. But look, I'm going to show you some other stuff that's just going to... This is just more for my own personal amusement, you know? It should just... You should just like it. And you're going to also see, right... If the journalist that wrote the article about PewDiePie, I mean, surely the journalist that wrote the stuff about PewDiePie, there's no way, is there, that they would be like massive, massive hypocrites. There's no way. There's no way. They just wouldn't do stuff. I mean, that would be too perfect. It'd be too simple, right? Well, unfortunately, the person that wrote the article, Asia Romano, who, if you remember, was outraged that PewDiePie had accidentally promoted a guy who was an anti-Semite. Okay, well, I was following the story at the time, and I wanted to do more on it, but as you know, I've been busy and working on shows. We had, like, WSOE had 3 shows. December alone, a lot of work. So while I'm talking to you, I'm just scrolling through because I liked all of the stuff and it blew my mind because this journalist had made jokes about Nazis and used racist language. She'd done that. So let's get into it. Let me, I just gotta find it. Sorry, I got some bangers. Oh, here we go. So this is one. Keep going back. Right, here we go. Asia Romano. Let's start with this. You tell me how you feel about this. Keep in mind, this is Asia Romano who wrote the article saying that PewDiePie accidentally linking to a video that was created by an anti-Semite was bad. These are a tweet. Now, I don't know if you guys know use of the word Negro. It's a bit of a yikes, you know? It's a bit of a yikes to do it a lot. Pretty bad. Because, obviously, it's a derogatory term for black people. Not quite as bad as the M-word, not a million miles from it. So, you definitely don't want to say that, okay? Like, I mean, that would be unacceptable. What else? You mean you've made jokes about Nazism? Surely not. Oh, here we go. Seeing why I joined Twitter trending and all I can think of is don't be stupid, be a smarty, come and join the Nazi party. And it's people in Nazi regalia doing the Nazi salute. And then underneath, well, I ain't even going to read that. So you start to ask yourself the question. How is it somebody that can get so outraged by what ostensibly is an innocent mistake by PewDiePie? You have to absolutely say that, by the way. There's no evidence that he maliciously promoted this person or knew that this person had in one video he never even claimed to have seen, made one or two jokes about Jewish people. Why is it okay for her to make this joke? Does anyone know? Because I like, yeah, I like the producers. You couldn't make it now, and pretty soon it will be banned, and you'll never be allowed to watch it and pretend it happened. Kind of like Dan Aykroyd in fucking Trading Places actually doing blackface. You know, it's just going to have to go. Like, it's going to have to, you know. Which, by the way, that bit was dodgy at the end of Trading Places. I also just don't think Dan Aykroyd's a racist. He's pretending to be a Jamaican in a movie. You know. But why is this okay? Like, you're making jokes about this. And that isn't even as bad as what PewDiePie did. He accidentally linked to a video. So this journalist then tried to, like, you know, fucking pretend that she instead was the victim of a harassment campaign. Now, again, I am not saying go out there and harass people. Not cool. You know, look, people at the end of the day, unless you're the biggest piece of shit in the world, unless you're Fritzl, I don't want you to be, like, you know, harassed, made miserable, fear for your life, constant threats. Nobody should have to live like that unless you're the worst person on fucking planet Earth, right? But she tried to make out that what she had done was actually perfectly fine, perfectly accurate. That is, just so you remember, she wrote an article that said PewDiePie had ties to white nationalism, white supremacy. And she said that it was completely unfair that she was being bullied and brigaded. She put up and keep in mind, this is, like, you've already seen, she's used racist language. She has made jokes about Nazis. She's used derogatory terms for black people. Okay? This was her self-pitying Twitter thread. She said, in the middle of the week-long brigade. Ooh, it's a brigade. No, you're a public person. You're a journalist. You post this stuff on Twitter. People react to it. People reply to it. That's not brigading. That is you being called out, or, you know, people responding to what you put out there. It's been a recurring theme among those I angered that I only wrote the articles. They just want traffic or attention. Get me a Nintendo Switch and just put it there. Right? Really? Really? I mean, well, what are the reasons, Aja Romano? What are the reasons? I just want to state for the record that any time a reporter has to engage with deeply hateful and disturbing content, it's a strain on our mental and emotional health. Right. This weren't 8mm, you fucking moron. You didn't have to look at, like, fucking snuff films. You watched a PewDiePie video. You watched a PewDiePie video. Anytime a reporter has to engage with deeply hateful and disturbing content, it's a strain on our mental and emotional health. Let me tell you, my ex-girlfriend, regulars on the stream notice, she worked in child protection. She had to literally rescue abused children. And very often, she had to look at some of the types of abuse they had received. And she had to go and testify in court about that type of abuse. She received death threats all the time for rescuing kids from abusive parents and family members. You stupid fucking cunt, watched a PewDiePie video. Let's dial down the fucking self-aggrandizing, pat on the back fucking heroics about what you did when you talk about looking at hateful and disturbing content. Because if looking at fucking hateful and disturbing content includes fucking PewDiePie, then there's 76 million people that on the regular get to make the claim you're making right now. What absolute drivel. And it's a strain on our mental and emotional health. It should be. The part of your emotional and mental health that you take the most strain on is this thing called your conscience, because you lied about this guy and said he had ties to white supremacy originally before you just stealth edited that out. It should take a toll on your mental health because you are a paid liar. You lie for money, and it isn't even your money. You lie for the money of a big corporation that gets to get hundreds of millions of VC money, as we've just demonstrated, based on the work you do, calling out people who are way more successful than you are and or ever will be. And the aftermath, receiving death threats, don't approve. Threats of rape and violence, don't approve. Orders to kill myself, don't approve. Endless fat shaming. All sorts of slurs. Seeing people I follow also receive harassment and general mockery for days. I didn't open myself up to that because I wanted the traffic. You did, unfortunately. Sorry, that's how it is. I know it kind of sounds callous and cruel. You lied about an incredibly popular figure for hate clicks. You got those hate clicks. A percentage of those hate clicks are going to involve the lunatic fringe of the internet. It sucks. Report every single person who threatens you to the police, and I hope every single one of them is arrested. But don't pretend you didn't know that was coming and that you didn't caught it. That's nonsense. Sorry. Let's be grown-ups. I knew all of that was coming. Well, surprise. Because a milder version of it happened each of the previous times I've written about PewDiePie. You mean you've written about him before? Wow, go figure. Here I was thinking you were just an unlucky journalist that had been assigned to write this incredible story. You mean literally... You've written about him habitually. Oh no, I can't believe that's true. It's almost as if there's a modus operandi to your work, you know? I knew all of that was coming because a milder version of it has happened each of the previous times I've written about PewDiePie. I chose to write the story anyway, at the risk of amplifying extremism. Because how the most popular person on YouTube uses his influence matters greatly. Not how you use your influence, though. We've just shown a report that shows Vox Media has more readers than PewDiePie has subscribers, yes? Do you not have a responsibility to tell the truth? Evidently not a fucking one. Weird how that works, isn't it? Isn't that weird how they have they get away with it? They can just fucking, they don't have any responsibilities or obligations, but they can hold truth to power. Let me tell you, if truth to power is somebody with less of a following calling out somebody with a greater following, PewDiePie should be calling you out and setting his goonies on you, and you should be going, well, actually, yeah, that's truth to power by my definition. Finally, one of the key takeaways of this follow-up piece was that the combination of Pewds' highly mobilized followers with the spread of alt-right messaging on YouTube. YouTube, by the way, one of the most fucking socially they own... the video uploaded, every BitChute, all of these guys, PayPal, everyone, like, no one else can make any money. You're telling me YouTube supports the alt-right? I can't even get by the numbers monetized. Okay. They support the alt-right. Something as mild as two old guys joking about Counter-Strike, a video game, demonetized. They won't give me my fucking silver fucking plaque for 100,000 followers and keep pretending I'm not entitled to it, no matter how often I email them. But they support the alt-right. Yeah. Finally, one of the key takeaways of this follow-up piece was that the combination of Pew's highly mobilized followers with the spread of the alt-right messaging on YouTube is a potentially scary one. The response to the article itself validates that takeaway. Yeah. I also love this as well. So imagine this, right? Okay. This is your modern games journalist, okay? I go into a bar. There's someone in the bar. Big guy. He's got tattoos, right? Some on his head, right? And I start going to my mates. Oh, have you seen that guy over there? He looks like a nasty piece of work. He looks violent, doesn't he? I bet he fucking attacks people all the time. My mate's going, well, you know, I mean, maybe he looks like he's hard. Looks like he can handle himself. But, I mean, you don't know anything about that guy, Rich. You don't know not that. I mean, seriously. Like, you can just tell who he is. Well, Richard, come on. You should know about not judging a book by it. Shh, friends. Watch this, then. Oh, skinhead. Yo, tats. Yeah, fucking dickhead. Yeah. Shouldn't that be a dick? Yeah, you. Yeah, you're violent as fuck you are, mate. What are you, a Nazi? You're violent, yeah? You're violent Nazi, are you? You're violent Nazi, are you? Richie, you should probably just keep it down, mate. Just leave him alone. He's just having a drink. He's just trying to mind his own business. No. Watch this. I'll prove it. I'll prove how violent he is. Yo, dickhead. Touch your kids, do you? Yeah, dickhead. Wait. Guy comes up. Guy starts walking up and he... About, is there something wrong, mate? Yeah. Look at you, you big tattooed cunt. Look at you. Yeah, out here drinking, yeah? Probably looking for a fight, aren't you? Well, no, actually, mate. I actually did a bit of time in prison, and I actually am trying to lead a good life right now. So I don't know if I've upset you. Can I buy you a drink? Oh, here we go. Here's the bribes, yeah? Because I called your fucking number, yeah? I got your number, yeah? You tattooed dickhead, yeah? Yeah, been in jail, have you, yeah? Got your fucking number. Fuck you, you violent cunt. Get the fuck out of my face, you fucking misogynist, violent goober gate, fucking violent asshole. No need for this, mate. I'm going to go over there and I'm just going to finish my drink and then I guess I better leave. Now, don't you ignore me. Don't you ignore me. I'm the games press. Don't you know who I am? Don't you ignore me. Don't you ignore me. And then guess what happens? The guy, the muscle-bound tattoo guy, he turns around and he goes, look, you've gone too far now, mate. And he gives you one. And you go, and the games journalist is on the floor. The game's just and he's wiping the blood from his mouth and his lip. And he goes, see, I told you he was violent. That's games journalism. That's all journalism. They poke and they poke and they poke and they lie and they poke and they lie and they poke and they lie and you respond and they go, hey, look, the response justified it. Literally, she says it there. The response proves everything I said. They're all like this. They're all like this. They're indoctrinated in this bullshit. So you can even look at this. Hang on, let me just show this. Because before we, I'm also, I got some other bits lined up for you, but I want to show you this as well. Also, Vox, right, just backs me up. This this article, in case you missed it, this was the day after she wrote the article accusing PewDiePie of being involved in white supremacy. Just the day after. It was only a mere 24 hours. Keep in mind, by the way, she was saying. Can't wait for the new True Detective, by the way. Don't even mind that advertisement being there. Can't wait. You know, I watched the second series and I was like, oh, the second series wasn't all that bad. People were just being hipsters. Absolute trash. It was absolute garbage. It was so, so bad. It was worse the second or third time I watched it. I was like, wow, this is really shit. But the first one, masterpiece. Absolute masterpiece. Like literally Rust Cole the G. Anyway, YouTube's 2018 Rewind is the site's most disliked video ever. The implications are huge. Why Aja Romano, who was supposedly at this time being serially harassed to the point where she had to hide in a fucking, what's it Superman has, the fucking Fortress of Solitude encased in ice. The goober grapers will never get me, the goober grapers. Like, right? Within 24 hours, she wrote another piece about PewDiePie. So what are the implications? Huge! Why are the implications huge? That's it, right? That clip gets clipped right there by the likes of Nathan Grayson going, Richard Lewis does white supremacy signal on Twitch. I'm banned. It's over. Guys, you can't tell the truth in this day and age, mate. XSplit will get you. Twitch will get you. Nathan Grayson will get you. They'll all get you. They're going to get you. Huge. I'm doing an impression of Donald Trump. That's what it was all about, you silly cunts. Right. PewDiePie is YouTube's most popular user. He doesn't appear in the video and his followers are waging war in his name. Here's what's at stake. What's at stake, Aja Romano? Because it seems to me like you might just at this point be putting PewDiePie's name into everything that you can for no fucking reason at all. Except we all know the reason now because you all been exposed. All right. Felix Kjellberg, a.k.a. PewDiePie, has lately made the news for recommending an anti-Semitic YouTube channel on the video. Yeah, he recently made the news because you write the news. Everyone else would have just gone, well, that was a bit silly. Don't like that anti-Semitic guy. Oh. PewDiePie's removed that part of the video. Okay, good. Just get him. Oh, I'm off to work. Jerk off in the shower. Going to work. That would have been it. You write the news. So, hate this. Whenever you see a journalist go, so-and-so has been in the news today. What they mean is, I wrote a news article about this other person. I'm old. So back when they actually taught journalism and journalistic ethics, one of the things I always got told, if you needed to reference sources, you couldn't reference your own work as a source, but you could say, I have written about this person in the past, here and here and here, and provide examples. But you couldn't say, oh, so-and-so's been in the news today, and then link to your own fucking article. My editor told me that was unethical. Doesn't matter. But his followers, see, all 76 million of them. I mean, we are now talking about the population of the United Kingdom. I think it's pretty weird to make bold statements about his followers. If he had 100 followers, you know, and 80 of them had done some shit, maybe you can say his followers. 76 million. But his followers seem unfazed by the controversy and have devoted themselves to defending his honor. Imagine that. Imagine a fan of somebody seeing them being falsely characterized and smeared in the media saying, hey, I don't like that, actually. Imagine. And threats to his YouTube sovereignty. PewDiePie has not responded to a request from Vox for comment. Good. Why would he ever talk to you, you fucking retards? It would only give your shit little rag more credibility when it should be bankrupt, destitute, and you should all realize VC money runs out one day. I can't wait for that day. 5 years. I'm hoping 5 years. And Vox just announces it's closing the doors, and people like Aja Romano are on the streets going, where did it all go wrong? You didn't tell the truth. You didn't build up a following. You didn't do anything. You contributed nothing. Here's the thing. I give money to the homeless all the time. I saw you begging on the fucking streets. I wouldn't give you a fucking dime. I'd be like, in fact, actually, I'm going to start a new thing now. Whenever I see a homeless person on the street, I'm just going to be like, did you ever work for Vox? Did you? And if they go, yes, I did. Well, you deserved it. I'm sorry. Sorry, mate. Sorry. There's veterans on these streets. I'm sorry. You ain't getting a fucking dime. Stay cold. Right? Is that a bit much? Is that a bit much? No, I'm going to stand by it. The wine is telling me to stand by it. I stand by it. I think that's reasonable. I'd much rather give to the veterans and the people that had the bum deals and the people with disabilities and the people who've slipped through the cracks in the mental health system than I would ever give to a fucking former Vox journalist. Stay cold. Stay hungry. You could have done something else. All right. One of the two battles involves an attempt to punish YouTube for omitting PewDiePie from its 2018 Rewind video, which aims to commemorate the most celebrated and meaningful aspects of YouTube's community throughout the year. Now, here's the thing. I've said this. I understand why YouTube didn't put PewDiePie in the video for this year. It's kind of a shame. It's silly that it sort of come to that. But PewDiePie has had a lot of controversy in 2018. He's still their number one dude. But I'm sure even he knows in his mind that like in a year where YouTube have done all they can. They've like got down on their knees and are just like blowing every advertiser like a fucking circus seal, you know, a fucking SeaWorld with the horns. Is doing all of them because they're desperate to fucking keep the money coming in. Obviously, you can't put PewDiePie in your video celebrating, like, the fucking, you know, the great year you've had. Because PewDiePie actually, with the Wall Street Journal reporting, contributed to it not being such a good year. So, you leave him out. They should have called PewDiePie up. Here's what they should have done. Bring, bring. Pewds, listen, dog. You're still our number one guy. You're still bringing a load of money to the website. We're still great, really grateful to have you here. But you know there was a bunch of dumb shit, right? And PewDiePie's going to go, I can't do an impression of PewDiePie, but I'll try. Yes! And then, I thought that was pretty good. That was just like an 8 out of 10. That went better than I thought. And and then they're going to go, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put some subtle references into you everywhere else. You know? And not like that animator sneaking your chair in. We're going to put a bunch of subtle references in. Maybe even a little subliminal message at the end about subscribe. Just something. And just thanks for being with us, man. And like, listen, we're going to get free and clear of the controversy. And next rewind, you're in. And Pewds goes, danke. And that's that, right? So that's what should have happened in an ad. Is it dank? No, it's Swedish, isn't it? So it's like dark. Sorry, my bad. I shouldn't know that by now. I shouldn't know that. I've been to enough. Dark. And that would have been the end of it, right? So. But that didn't happen. Because YouTube don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck that he's the most popular. Listen, I saw people going, oh, PewDiePie is too big to ban. Lol. Have you been paying attention to how YouTube are handling their business these days? They straight do not give a fuck how big you are. You'll just get cut. Gone. GG. No re. Like, trust me. If PewDiePie crosses a threshold they don't think can be explained away, he'll be gone. I guarantee already in 2019 with this nonsense about how YouTube is radicalizing right-wing people, PewDiePie's on a list of channels to... steer people. How do we steer people away from our most popular user with an algorithm? That question has been asked in a YouTube meeting, in a Google meeting somewhere. That, come on. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, fuck. A Twitter employee even banned fucking Trump's account. You're absolutely right. By the way, AGP the third, you've gone private on Twitter, if I remember rightly, and I don't know why, and it's weird, and I'm worried about you. Anyway, one of the two battles involves an attempt to punish YouTube for omitting PewDiePie from his 2018 Rewind, which aims to commemorate, okay? The other involves an attempt to prevent his channel from being deposed as the most subscribed channel on the site. Okay, these both seem like perfectly normal and reasonable things. On one side, in a narrower sense, both fights are examples of the considerable level of influence that PewDiePie holds over his 76 million followers and counting. But in a broader sense, both fights are rooted in the idea of what constitutes YouTube culture itself, and they represent the many complicated layers of community on YouTube in 2018. On one side of the fight to defend PewDiePie lie many overlapping sub... That's a terrible word to put after PewDiePie. PewDiePie lie many overlapping subcultures which make up huge swaths of YouTube's general populations. His tremendous gaming communities, including Let's Players, live streamers, machinima-style editors and vloggers, his prank cultures, and they overlap with stunt personalities like Jake and Logan Paul. Stunt personalities? Is that what we're calling them? Are we calling them that? Is that... stunt? What's the stunt? Robbing kids? Like, that's a bit weird, isn't it? You just trick kids into buying your shit garbage merchandise. Like, Yeah, I agree with you guys. That's an autocorrect from cunt personalities. I checked the Logan Paul. There we go. There we go. There we go. Oh, hey, I'm just going to film this dead dude. Oh, I'm so sad about the dead dude. Kids, don't go in there. There's a dead dude. Buy my merch. Jake, you could do like a suicide awareness thing here. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen. It's Jake Paul here. Jake Paul is... Suicide is a serious thing. And nobody should take their life. There's always a better way. For example, next time you're depressed. Oh, is that Logan? Have I ruined the whole bit? I can go back and do it. I mean, like, there's no... Was that Logan? Okay. Sorry. I'll just do it again. It's just like being at fucking E-League. We just do the bit again. We just rewind it. Didn't happen. Okay? So. Hey, you know Logan Paul? You could do something really good for an anti-suicide charity here. Okay? that's pretty smart. I'll buy now. It's rewind time! Okay. You know, because that video is a really bad optics. It's a really bad look. Say no more. Okay, listen. I know that recently, me, Logan Paul, as if the joke would have been any different, by the way. You saw a video of me, and, you know, I made light of a terrible issue. Because suicide is an important thing. It's an important thing that we talk about. And if you're feeling suicidal, you've just got to remember that no matter how bad things get, there's always a better way. There's always things you can do. There are always people who love you. People who want you to stay here. Okay? Like me. Logan Paul. So next time you're feeling depressed, just buy my merch. Just buy my merch. Instead of killing yourself, just buy my merch. Or if you are going to kill yourself and I can't stop you, can you spend all your money before you do on my merch? Okay, thanks. Okay, think I nailed that. Did I nail that one? Okay, excellent. Good. Glad I nailed that one because I really care about suicide. That's why I'm filming dead bodies. Kids, stay away. Thought I nailed that. Nailed it. Perfect. Let's keep going. Because Vox articles are always so long. It's like I can't even read an entire article. It's like another 5-hour stream. Like, look at this shit. They just overwrite the nonsense. And what seems to be an endlessly swirling cloud of controversy around PewDiePie, which we create, a new indicator has emerged to which side of YouTube he represents. There's no sides on YouTube. And how YouTube itself views him. On December 6th, the site released its annual Rewind video in which it looks back at the highlights of the year. The 2018 video is an effusively rosy, objectively wince-inducing 8-minute love fest with a notably diverse cast celebrating anything from K-pop to drag queens, working moms, mental health vloggers, and the baby shark meme. Really sounds like YouTube, doesn't it? I mean... I use YouTube every day. I've never seen any of that shit. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to fucking keep taking the happy pills and it'll turn up. As YouTube pointed out in the press release, Rewind 2018 features over 100 of YouTube's top creators. It does not, however, feature PewDiePie. The omission incensed PewDiePie's followers, as well as the followers of other YouTube creators who were left out. As a result, the video, within a matter of days, has rapidly overtaken an 8-year-old Justin Bieber's single to become the most disliked video. Listen... It's not okay. I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this.
I can learn.
Shut up, computer. I was really hoping you wouldn't have to do this. All right. I'm sorry, guys. But Vox is telling me, right, that this 8-minute video, okay, this 8-minute YouTube Rewind video, right, is only being disliked because PewDiePie's not in it. And I remember watching it and thinking, wow, this is fucking awful. This is like somebody who, like, I've woke up and I can't move my arms and my legs. And at first I think it's sleep paralysis, and it's not. And actually I'm being tied down, and I try to scream, but I can't because there's like a metal funnel in my mouth and I'm biting down on it and I'm trying to get my bearings. And as I try to scream again, this warm, tepid liquid is flowing down the funnel. And at first, because my tongue is under the metal, I can't taste it. But as it starts going down, some filters into my jaw, and it tastes like shit. The unmistakable tang of poo. And oh, you're funneling hot liquid poo into my mouth while I'm tied up. That is what this video is. Probably. Let's see, shall we?
It's rewind time.
Okay, this reeks. I mean, this reeks of like, yo, I'm going to turn up and you're going to pay me $1 million and I'm going to do like one take. And you better use it. And you go, okay, you're Will Smith. I'm sure the take will be great. This sucks. I mean, this alone.
Yeah. Rewind time.
This guy perfectly imitated the vocal intonations, syncopations, everything else of Muhammad Ali. And you can't even act vaguely excited at a fake text message. Okay. And then,
I control rewind. I would want Fortnite and Marquez Brownlee.
I don't believe you, Will. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, brother. All right.
Is this what you wanted?
You know who I would have asked for?
Quit horsing around!
This guy. This guy. First of all, not a YouTuber, right? You're the first fucking guy after Will Smith that has a prominent role.
Is this Marcus?
Quiero Eliza.
Still don't know who any of these people are apart from Ninja and Will Smith. Whatever. I'm gonna keep drinking, and then it's gonna be fine. So it's.
There's one thing this video needs.
K-pop.
Right. Why? Come on. What's K-pop got to do with YouTube? Does anyone know what K-pop has to do with? But Casey Neistat doesn't even like K-pop. If he knows what Casey Neistat's older than me. He doesn't know what K-pop is. Casey Neistat is like a 40-year-old who runs around pretending to be like 17. And keep on the day, guys. Do you like K-pop? Like, come on, man. Anyway. K-pop's got nothing to do with YouTube. Right. Okay, why is this? I don't know who this chick is. Why is she marrying a cartoon cat, Bongo Cat, from the internet? Why? And it's a royal wedding? Why is that happening? Does anyone know why that's happening? Why is Bongo Cat having a royal wedding with this bird? I don't know. Just, can anyone explain it to me? Does anyone know? You're all going, oh, Richard, this is the best bit of the video. If this is the best bit of fucking YouTube Rewind, this is the problem, isn't it? This is out of control. Look how much soy is on this.
Rewind needs more science.
No. Rewind needs you to fucking stop drinking soy milk right now, sir. You're out of control. That's enough. You've had enough soy, mate.
Love that. Melting lipsticks.
Don't know who you are. Or what's going on here.
我给大家做吃的怎么样?
I mean, okay, I'll tell you what's going on here. There's a new fucking, this footage here is literally, we need to make a drink to give to children. Soy flavor. Well, okay, let's go down. Let's make the drink. I got an idea. Here we go. Yes, yes. Strawberry and soy. Drink all the soy. All the soy. Yeah.
Marshmallow needs to be in this video.
Why? Why does a marshmallow? Does anyone know why a marshmallow needs to be in a video? Does anyone know? Can I just stop this weird thing that was going on over here, which I don't even understand? Why is this dog having a feast and champagne and a turkey? And then...
Marshmallow needs to be in this video.
Why does a marshmallow need to be in this video? Why?
Who is Marshmallow?
I still don't know who any of these people are or what the fuck is going on. Same cunts from before. Same cunts from before. Same cunts from before. Same cunts from before. Same. Nice start. Now this is the best bit of the video. Dance along with me, chat. Yeah, yeah. Wait. Hold on. Wait. That looks suspiciously like John Oliver to me, my pedigree chums. Have a look. John Oliver. Come on, man. And thank God for this bit where the animator snuck a PewDiePie reference past fucking YouTube. Right? Now, the video would get really good right about now if a guy just came in with a mask and a flamethrower and he just like went, listen, we trolled you. The first 4 minutes of this video was shit. And he just scorched all these fucking loser, lack of creative, fucking shill types. And it was just a firewalk just for the next 4 minutes. Just watching them burn would have been the best rewind ever.
You know who really needs to be in this rewind video?
Who?
Everyone who managed to do something bigger than themselves this year.
That's a good point, right? I mean, my instant reaction would have been, you know, the most popular YouTubers. Silly me. But okay, I like this because you can shine a spotlight on people that have done something truly amazing through the medium of YouTube. There's like numerous charities and stuff. Let's see what you went with.
Who found a way to help the causes that matter to the most.
I think this year's Rewind should celebrate the fierce, fabulous, and empowering art of drag.
I mean, I like drag queens. I know you're all gonna go, Richard, you're lying now, right? We're catching you out, we're locking you in your bigotry. Dude, let me tell you a thing or two. Drag queens are great. Drag queens are great. Completely on board. Wouldn't describe it fierce, and I don't know what it's got to do with YouTube, but whatever, all right.
Can we give a moment to working moms? 頑張りましょう.
E a todo mundo que ensinou.
Ou que aprendeu. I'm all right with that.
We're forgetting something.
Good joke, Minnie. What are we forgetting? Actual YouTubers? No?
We should read the comments.
Okay, is this a joke about how the community sucks? Looks like a joke about how the community sucks.
Let's give the people what they want.
You're not giving me what I want because this video is still going, but all right, let's do it. Love it. More Fortnite. Everyone's flossing. Don't know who you are still. All right, man. Okay. Who are these people? They must be important, right? They got cartoons and shit. Who are these people? Who are these people? Do you know who these people are? Does anyone know who these people are? The video's nearly over. Like, there's got to be someone. I recognize Casey fucking Neistat and Ninja and Will Smith. Oh, and John Oliver. Can I just say as well, out of all the people I don't know, My favorite people are the fucking drag queens. I like to take them out. If they see this, let's go wild in Vegas.
Oh, that's hot.
But
that's hot.
It's not hot. None of it was hot, mate. Now, here we go. Real YouTube. This cunt here, I've watched his videos, mate. This is how I know when the apocalypse comes, I'll be all right, because I watch this geezer's YouTube videos, mate. Nobody else can build a house out of shit and bricks and twigs. He's all right. Like that guy. That's real content. Like that. Look at it. Look, mate. He's just made a brick out of fucking turds. Respect. Fuck off, Markiplier. Look at all these other people. Like, you even have the audacity to put these cunts that I don't know or care about over this guy's shit. Look how good this guy is. Oh, no, you've drawn a... Oh, no, no, you've drawn a YouTube symbol. You didn't have to do this, mate. It's not what primitive people would want to do. Right. That is... Okay, go on. I'll give you the last fucking 7 seconds. Here it is. Right. That was YouTube Rewind 2018. Now, what I'm supposed to believe... What I'm supposed to believe is that people didn't like this because they were PewDiePie fans. According to Vox, you remember, like an hour ago when we were talking about Vox, right? Apparently, we're supposed to believe that the 2018 Rewind video was only being downvoted as being bad because of PewDiePie fans. It is objectively bad. Right? It's objectively bad. It's objectively bad, no matter which way you slice it. Like, I'm a YouTube audience person. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why John Oliver's doing this unless you're trying to indoctrinate me to fucking vote blue. This is stupid. How the fuck are we going to win this? Let's do one more bit before the stream endeth. Oh, did you see the re? I don't know if you saw the re. Oh, actually, this is interesting. This will tie in with the PewDiePie stuff. Maybe I'll get my guys to chop it together. This is the thing. I'm sure you did see this.
You retweet one of-
right. I'm sure we all saw this. There was a teacher in a school. Where else would the teachers be? Well, I suppose it's relevant. He's in school while he's doing it. He is a teacher. He's in school. So basically what happened was, it was a bit weird. Like, there was a teacher in a school, and he told the kids that if they retweeted anything by PewDiePie, they could be in trouble because PewDiePie is anti-Semitic. And I was like, nah. The title's a lie. There's no way any teacher would say that to a child, to someone in their care, because that would be grotesquely irresponsible. I mean, it's false for one thing. I mean, I wouldn't want to tell... I mean, there are certain circumstances, by the way, where if you... okay, so there was like a super injunction, for example, with Ryan Giggs. I don't know if you remember this. Ryan Giggs, the football player, Welsh football player. And Ryan Giggs, he'd fucked his brother's wife, right? Loved it, and a newspaper had found out about it, and he didn't want the newspaper to publish it. But then what happened was he went to a judge and he got a thing called a super injunction. It was the first time there'd ever been a super injunction for the purpose of infidelity. And the judge approved of it, and it within that super injunction, it said that Ryan Giggs and his prosecution team would be within their rights to prosecute anyone on Twitter who said it was Ryan Giggs and retweeted that it was, even if you'd retweeted someone else saying it was Ryan Giggs. Think about how untenable that is, by the way, on the fucking internet. Like, a guy out there hears that Ryan Giggs has been fucking his brother's wife, and he tweets it out, and then you retweet it out. Like, you're ever going to be held accountable. But technically, if they wanted to go after you, they could. It wouldn't be worth their time or their money or their effort or anything else. But they could, okay? So, in that case, I mean, I would say, I can't even think why it would come up if I was teaching kids. I can't think of a, well, if Ryan Giggs, I don't know why I'd ever be talking about that with children in class. But just listen to what he says about PewDiePie and PewDiePie at the height of this false anti-Semitic outrage. This is just a day after he had retweeted that ER guy. Just listen to this.
And by every time you retweet one of these things, or every time you promote this idea, you are promoting ignorance, racism, genocide, anti-Semitism. These are all things that you are putting forward when you are doing anything that promotes PewDiePie. So be careful about this. If someone decided to, if something were to happen, if PewDiePie were to be sued for this, you could be complicit. If you retweet it, they can make you pay a fine as well, because you have officially published anti-Semitic things. So if you are republishing this stuff, you could get in trouble for it. Be very aware that that is a real thing. And by...
So, the one thing he's not wrong about is, if somebody does something, if somebody puts like hate speech on the internet and you retweet it, there is a tacit understanding that you either agree with it and you're helping to spread it, so you can be held accountable. PewDiePie has never tweeted anything anti-Semitic, nor has done anything that can be construed as anti-Semitic. He accidentally promoted someone who was anti-Semitic in YouTube and made reparations almost immediately. There is no way that you would ever be fined or punished for retweeting anything by PewDiePie. Clearly what this teacher was doing was trying to dissuade his audience from engaging with a person who he is ideologically in his mind, because we don't know what PewDiePie's ideology is, right? I mean, we don't know. There's some shit that makes me stay away from that. Stephen Molyneux, cut that out of your diet. Guy is a white supremacist, no matter how much he tries to disguise it. Cut that out of your fucking diet. Guy's 100% a white supremacist. But I don't know, following fucking Sargon or something, like, just a boomer, whatever. You know. But I'll tell you this right now. Somebody, I used to watch Stephen Molyneux videos back, oh, fuck, I'm talking like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, back when he's, what was it called, Free Domain Radio or something? I can't remember. But he used to be like a radio host who posed as a philosopher. The shit he's talking about now is inarguably white supremacist. I mean, it just is. It's not even up for debate. I want to see if I can. I can show you an example in case anybody thinks I need to qualify that statement. I will, but yeah, just so people know, you're not going to get in trouble. Well, one story at a time. You're not going to get in trouble for retweeting PewDiePie, all right? No one's going to think you're an anti-Semite for retweeting PewDiePie unless they work for Vox. So what do you think happened in the aftermath of this video coming to light? Well, what I would do is, if I ran the school, I would pull the teacher to one side and I would say, listen, it's not really appropriate what you're saying. And not only is it not appropriate, it's not fucking accurate. And you do your students an unbelievable disservice when you do that. You got to fucking get a grip of yourself, man. We will not have our children at this school intimidated based on your bizarre thoughts and fucking theories about who and who isn't an anti-Semite. It's not appropriate for the classroom. You do it again, there'll be problems. Okay. Instead, what the school did was this. There was an announcement, Hamilton International Middle School PTSA. And from the principal, Dear Hamilton families and students, I'm writing a follow-up on the social media incident that occurred yesterday afternoon. Student and staff safety is our top priority. Okay, do tell me whose safety is being violated, not the children who are being indoctrinated and lied to, evidently. At some point in the last week, a student recorded part of a teacher's lesson about real news versus fake news. Didn't sound like he was talking about that at all. And posted it on Twitter. Unexpectedly, this posting began to gain traction on social media. As time went on, the post was retweeted by many others. And as sometimes happens in social media, negative comments and language were included. While the language did not include a direct threat, out of an abundance of caution, we responded. And then that was what I got before it got removed. So, imagine what they're saying here. They're literally saying that, yo, the kid recording his teacher lying to the classroom and trying to mind fuck the students, that's bad. Don't do that. Don't record our teachers doing that. But we take no reaction or we take no action or responsibility for the teacher doing that. I don't know about that school. And again, this is another thing. Like any school that refuses discipline teachers doing this, if they draw any government funding, suck it the fuck out, put them all on the fucking breadline. Let's see where your ideology gets you. It's about time we started doing this, by the way. When you hold a child's development in your fucking hands, there are a few things more precious and few things that you need to be more delicate with. And if you start filling their head with bullshit, I don't give a fuck if it's right bullshit or left bullshit, you gotta fucking get the fuck out the classroom. I don't care if you're the fucking person who punished a kid for saying they didn't want to, you know. And again, I've done this bit on my show, so you know I'm not just bashing on the left. Remember that guy, that teacher, that fucking, when the little girl wanted to write a letter to Hillary, and he told the little girl that Hillary was a fucking fraud and he wouldn't send the letter? Fire that guy. He's not fit to be around kids. How dare you destroy that fucking child's aspirations? You're a teacher. You have a responsibility. Right? This is not a partisan issue. You cannot fill children's heads full of bullshit. It is abusive and harmful. Fuck your political ideology. If you want to be a teacher, check that shit at the fucking door. If you cannot, get the fuck out of the classroom. The end. I did see the PewDiePie parody of Rewind. It was pretty goddamn good. I liked it.
When I was in school, both middle and high school, we were told repeatedly by staff, teachers, and on-site officers that it was borderline illegal to record the teachers for any reason inside the school or during class.
When I was at school, when I went to school, what I got told was that whenever I tried to talk about teachers, about politics or whatever, they would say it's not appropriate for us to talk with you about this. That's what I got told. And looking back, you know, I think, I think that was a better time. You know? But yeah, I think that's fucking horrifying. I think when you lie to kids as a teacher, it's unconscionable. It's unconscionable. If you can't have the conversation, just back out of the conversation. Like, it's all good, right? You know? But I mean, literally, I remember talking to teachers, and I was an inquisitive and precocious child, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I would want to talk to them about, you know, hey, well, what do you believe? Do you believe in an afterlife? Do you believe in religion? Do you believe in politics? Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? I was bullied a lot as a kid. Didn't have a lot of friends. So I used to engage with a lot of the teachers. I used to do really well in some classes. And they all told me the same thing. Like, yo, Rich, dude, it's not like, you know, I just can't talk. I mean, I went to school during a time, somewhat shamedly so, where if you were gay, you couldn't be a teacher. So, I mean, you know, or you had to hide it, right? You know. So I'm not saying there hasn't been, like, weird situations. But I just think, you know, maybe just check your ideologies at the door. Teach the kids the fact.